l'embuscade de Clonfin a eu lieu le 2 février 1921. 21 membres de la colonne volante de North Longford ont tendu une embuscade à deux camions d'auxiliaires. Une colonne volante est une petite unité militaire terrestre indépendante, capable de se déplacer rapidement et portant généralement des armes légères. Elle a été largement utilisée par l'IRA pendant la guerre d'indépendance. La colonne volante de North Longford était sous le commandement de Shin McEwing. Les auxiliaires étaient une unité paramilitaire qui complétait la Royal Irish Constabulary, RIC, composée d'anciens officiers britanniques dont la plupart venaient de Grande-Bretagne et avaient combattu pendant la Première Guerre mondiale. Près de 2300 personnes ont servi dans cette unité pendant le conflit et leur rôle était de mener des opérations de contre-insurrection contre l'IRA. Maeve Brady, fille de Tom Brady, membre de la colonne volante de North Longford, nous en dit plus.
My father, Tom Brady, was just 20 years old when he joined the North Longford Flying Column in November 1920. He was one of the 21 men who took part in the Clonfin ambush. Most of the men had a rural background. Many knew one another. In fact, several sets of them were related. So it can be said of them they were connected by blood, landscape, and national passion. Three of the men had been in the British Army and had useful knowledge of engaging in conflict. An ambush was planned for some time. On the 2nd of February 1921, the site chosen was here at Clonfin. When they gathered together on that morning, each one knew where they were posted, who was in command of the post, what they had to do, though no instruction was given on withdrawal. They also knew that the British forces would travel that route either on their way outward or return journey to Longford. It was a cold, bleak day and their wait was about 8 to 9 hours. Two tenders came along at about 3 o'clock. They were dragging a tricolour they had earlier confiscated and were singing merrily. As the first tender came down the slope, just at the bridge, the bomb exploded with great precision. The first tender went up into the air and tossed its occupants out. The military were quick to get into action with several rounds of a Lewis gun. The first casualty was the auxiliary with the Lewis gun, who was knocked out immediately, as were the second and third man who manned it. Francis Worthington Craven, OC, walked up and down the road directing his men as heavy fighting ensued for about a half an hour. Francis Worthington Craven was injured, and after raising the white flag and in his dying moments, he asked to see Sean McGowan. They had a forthright, brief discussion, and Craven requested from McGowan that his men be looked after. Thereafter, McGowan's words to his comrades were, "It has been a fair fight. No further injury is to be inflicted." He allowed the auxiliaries to tend their wounded and used the second tender to take their dead and injured back into Longford barracks. In all, 4 British died: Francis Worthington Craven, John Houghton at the site, George Bush within an hour of being brought into Longford Infirmary, and Harold Clayton died 2 days later in Stephen's Hospital in Dublin. In the meantime, one of the Oxys had fled over the hill, hijacked a vehicle and got into Ballinalee, from whence reinforcements came quickly. The main body of the North Longford Flying Column had fled northwards, leaving 3 of their men on the road. As they took to their heels, a dangerous situation evolved, with the English forces between those already safe and the last 3. Another sharp engagement took place, and my father, Tom Brady, got a superficial wound. It was the only injury incurred, and he was able to proceed to safety. The column gathered as much ammunition as they could, all of them carrying a portion of it over the bog. Sean Sexton carrying the Lewis gun, which was very heavy, and he had to drop it into a bog hole for safety, to be retrieved later when all was safe. The column gathered in Bracken Woods, did a roll call, and dispersed. The next day, February the 3rd, the English forces came round again. One sad fatality was that of an elderly man, Michael Farrell, who was out in his yard. Not hearing the order to halt, he was shot dead on his own premises. Paddy Finnegan from Columkill had dropped his revolver with his name on it. They tracked down and burned his home. His parents are said never to have gotten over that tragedy.
Après la longue fusillade de Clonfin, comme l'a rappelé Maeve, les blessés ont été renvoyés à Longford Town pour y être soignés. Le traitement humain de Mac et Owen a retardé la fuite de Lyra, qui a failli être rattrapée par des renforts britanniques alors qu'elle s'échappait par le bois de Clonfin. Lyra avait capturé environ 18 fusils, 20 revolvers, une mitraillette Lewis et des centaines de munitions lors de la rencontre. Dans une autre note historique, les lecteurs du Dernier des Mohicans seront peut-être intéressés de savoir que le lieutenant-colonel George Monroe, dont on se souvient surtout dans le roman pour avoir défendu sans succès le fort William Henry pendant la guerre française et indienne en 1757, puis avoir été attaqué par les Indiens, est en fait né ici, à Clonfin. Il a survécu au massacre, mais il est mort subitement à Albany 3 mois plus tard. Continuez jusqu'au village de Ballinally, votre prochain arrêt.